Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, December the 6th, 344th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
Good, good. December 6th.
Right.
A momentous day.
Yes.
In our history. Yeah. Just feeling a little melancholy, that's all.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did you do anything special?
Worked.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and that's kind of special enough for a lot of us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Holy cow. And, of course, when you work with guns and ammos and bad people and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So your work is a little bit more exciting and dynamic than some of ours.
Well, you know.
Yeah. But that's why you're the celebrity, right?
If you want to put it that way.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, you have to run for office. How's
that? Yeah, that's
is that
there
more
you
safe?
Go.
Yeah, okay.
Run from office. Oh, for office.
Yeah. Run from the office, yeah. We've got weather coming on that we can talk about. We've got weather that did. We can talk about that. We've also got hiding in public view. That to me was this whole situation with the girl that got popped at Eel River Sawmills, or what was the Eel River Sawmills, mm-hmm. is really kind of an interesting one. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also probably summarize what the past harvest season was like.
Sounds
good. For the
good
guys and the bad guys.
Sounds good.
All righty. We'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of The Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mike Downey, the Humboldt County Sheriff. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from William Makepeace Thackeray. Quote, "I never know whether to pity or congratulate a man on coming to his senses."
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, my, oh, my. So since last we got together, we've had an election.
Yes.
Did it turn out the way that you would have liked at the state level?
State level.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to get you into the local puddle or in the big pond.
All right. All right. State level, you know, there were initiatives there that were definitely helpful to law enforcement, and that was good. I mean, we have this AB 109, the jail realignment thing that was segued into Proposition 30, which was voted on and passed by the voters of California. I've never been a big proponent of tax increase, but in this case, with the shift in responsibility as far as prisons go and jails, it was definitely needed, at least from my view as sheriff, so we could sustain what has now become my responsibility.
Isn't that a quagmire at this point? I mean, outside looking in, obviously, a lot more people.
Yes.
A lot more screwy people.
You mean at the local level?
In town, in and out of the Hilton. A lot more responsibility. And the guys up on the hill kind of laughing and giggling, thinking that they actually did something towards either balancing the budget or making law enforcement better in California because of this move.
Well, you know, you brought up a wide spectrum of issues there, Brian, which you do well. Let me just speak to one part of that. I believe, and I think many sheriffs will agree with me throughout the state, that even though realignment has been somewhat problematic, I do believe in the case of the local offenders and hanging on to these offenders for a longer period of time, that local law enforcement, local sheriffs can probably do a better job financially in housing these people and finding alternatives as far as sentencing goes, and keeping a better track of what they're doing than at the state level. The state is very bureaucratic, and I think we've cut through some of that by keeping some of this stuff local. I think we can do a better job in the long run.
Okay, you know, I think local, you know, pushing it down to the local level, flattening out the organization, whatever you want to call it, I think everybody's in agreement with that. But when I hear the horror stories of probation, what Damiano and his guys are having to deal with, when I hear the stories from you and from Harpum and Chapman and all the guys about you're not done filing your report and they're out on the street again, the no room in the hotel, you know, all these things that make it very problematic and far more challenging for citizens in our area to feel comfortable and safe at night.
Well, you know, and let's keep it in perspective, too. All this hit at the could never hit at the right time, but at the worst time. We have unemployment that's skyrocketing. We have a weak economy that has not showing any real signs of strengthening yet, even though incrementally it is. You know, we have all these things going against us in general, which would cause many of the problems that we're experiencing now as far as crime goes. And then adding the prison issue into it has somewhat made it more challenging. But I think we would still be seeing some of these issues anyway. To what degree, I couldn't really say for sure. But I think that it's putting it all together has made the perfect storm everyone likes to talk about. But I don't think putting the blame totally on realignment is fair either. So I think there's a lot of things that have added into the problems we're seeing today. We probably would still have many of these problems. To what degree, it would be hard to judge at this point.
Probation was in a tough stead before this hit. I mean, I remember Dave Lehman,
mm-hmm.
the former chief probation officer,
right.
Lamenting caseloads and lack of revenues. And that was back when more people were good guys.
Right.
Instead of being tempted across the line. Is it fair to lay a lot of the stuff that we're experiencing locally, in addition to the realignment, to the drug culture that's here? Or let me say it differently. Are there other communities that are suffering the same degree of impacts in other parts of the state that don't have the drug culture that we have?
Probably not. Not to the same degree. You know, I think of one sheriff that I like to talk to when we go to these sheriff meetings is a sheriff from Marin County, and I'll mention to Bob Doyle, how are things going? And he says, it's always great in Marin County, Mike. It's always great. You know, I mean, there are communities throughout the state that aren't experiencing quite the same types of things that we are. You may have a point there that we, you know, some of this is already here.
A little self-induced.
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater's 29th season has 6 treats for its audiences. By next summer, it will have presented 2 musicals, 2 comedies, 1 contemporary drama, and a Shakespeare classic at its theater in downtown Eureka. Now playing is Anything Goes, a revival of a musical about antics on an ocean liner featuring Cole Porter's timeless music. Coming in January is American Buffalo, a revival of a Broadway drama about 3 small-time crooks who plan to steal a coin collection. Shakespeare's The Tempest comes in March, followed by Next to Normal, a musical with a contemporary score. The season wraps up with a comedy titled The Allergist's Wife. For details about the North Coast Rep season, visit their website, www.ncrt.net. That's www.ncrt.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, the concept with AB 109 might have been well-founded. Notice I'm opening a slight little crack in the door there.
There you go.
Might have been well-founded. Yeah. But it doesn't seem like the application of it really has done anything other than put counties that are economically stagnated,
right,
depressed, whatever you want, right, to call us, into a situation where we got more folks taking more resources or needing more resources, taking up more of your time. We, Angie and I, were at lunch Monday instead of somewhere else that I'm not supposed to be.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't mention that.
And saw the same guy is all tatted up, had the headband, uh-huh, had his bicycle. In the half hour we were at this place, passed in front of us 7 times. Okay. normal, well, normal-ish, could have been, you know, if he was covered up. I was just kind of cruising from where we were to the courthouse and back, you know, a little north and then back and forth and back and forth. You know, what's going on? And there were a number, not just that one, but he was on a bike, and so I was kind of monitoring.
Well, it's that growing transient community that we have. You know, it's throughout the county. You know, the problem is not endemic just to Eureka. It's, you know, we have Willow Creek and Garberville complaining about the same problems, obviously, that we've got this huge transient community going in and out of Humboldt County and around Humboldt County, and it's hurting tourism. Garberville complains about the fact that people don't like to come and trade in town anymore as far as buying from the business owners there.
I would suggest it's not even tourism.
Right.
I mean, just go up and down any of the towns down Main Street and look at the number of opens.
Yeah. Oh, exactly right. So it is a huge problem in Humboldt County, and it's one we're trying to address. But you get into civil rights issues. You get into issues of people having the right to walk down the street. I've had communities up in arms about why are you allowing these people in? You know, to be here. Well, you know, they have a right to be there, even though they're not abiding by the norm of the community. So there has to be an understanding between those that are coming into your communities and what the community sets as their standard.
And the standard isn't maintained by the badge.
No,
I would suggest.
No, the standard.
It's by the community.
Right. And I tell these communities that time and time again, a lot of these problems are culturally endemic. They've grown over the years, and they've been culturally accepted over the years to where now you can't change the tide overnight. It takes a period of time of the community setting the standard as to, you know, what we value in our communities and what we don't. And then if
the community might got, I'll call it attitude, confidence, whatever you want to label it, and said no. Okay, I mean, not fisticuffs, not vigilante, but just no. And that kind of started to permeate. What would you see as a timeline for that impact to hit before you really started to sense that things were starting to change?
I would say it would take, to start seeing the incremental changes, you're probably looking at 6 months to a year or more. Because you have a whole cycle of a year going through there where people that are normally coming in and out of that community have to realize that. You know, it's simple things like the old broken window theory. You know, you allow the windows to stay broken, there's going to be more broken windows. If you continue to replace those windows, pretty soon that's going to diminish. Same thing with the graffiti on the underpasses. Counties and communities throughout the state have taken on programs where they remove the graffiti as soon as it goes up. And they continue to remove that graffiti as soon as it goes up to deter any further graffiti being done. You know, same concept is setting a standard, you know, of what is acceptable and what's not.
So as you see the change of the culture in our area and the communities being redefined, I mean, you've been around long enough. You know, for me, I say take back. For you, it's go back kind of thing. Is it as simple as, well, let's just open up a couple new mills. Let's get the train here. Let's have some employment. Because what I see out there is not an awful lot of the folks looking for employment. I'm seeing, sensing, feeling the entitled.
Right.
The lifestyle option. Things like that are different. Am I not seeing the
full
picture?
You bring up a very important component, and you said it yourself, was about employment, whether it be railroad or mills or some type of employment or industry for people to get to work, feel good about what they're doing. You know, most people want a job. You know, most people do want a job. They want to be productive. And if we're able to infuse that back into our communities, whether it be the railroad, whether it be some type of light industry, then that's what needs to happen to make people feel good about their communities again, and to make those changes within their communities.
So government largesse, that's a real stupid phrase, isn't it? government redistribution
okay.
was diminished, was lessened. You don't think that we would that would be a motivator for some of these folks to find jobs? You think we would have to have jobs and then things would shift?
I think jobs would be a step in the right direction. I think it would surely help.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, we're kind of, I guess, we're in the winter weather's pattern. I don't know anymore, really.
Yeah.
There's a pattern. We had a little wet.
Right.
Any issues associated with that? As far as how the community was reacting?
Yeah. You know, this last series of storms that came through, to have the intensity we did was a little earlier than we normally experience, to the point that we actually I was in Sunday for a little while. We were getting ready to activate OES because the projected river at Fernbridge was was projected to be right at 24 feet, which puts it almost over the road there on the other side of the bridge. 24 and a half does cover the road.
Out on the from the bridge to the fairgrounds?
Right, yeah. Right. So we were concerned about that. In fact, they said that it could possibly go as high as 25. So, you know, we were considering what we were going to do with that. The river did crest about midnight to Sunday night, 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and it was only 22.7, I think, is what it crested at, which was below what they anticipated. But again, if that series of storms had continued, we probably would have been in for some real problems. One thing I did notice, I went out that morning on Sunday morning and watched the river from around Cannibal Island and Cock Robin Island in that area, and you should have seen the debris washing down the river. So it's been a couple of years since that river's really been flushed very well, and I think this storm definitely did that. But, you know, we had issues that we had to deal with, some low-lying flooding, but it wasn't anything monumental to the point that we had to activate too heavily.
Yeah, Rexy was on yesterday. He was talking a little bit about, you know, Port Kenyon and mm-hmm. Ferndale area. He made a comment, I forget if it was on air or off, about how Francis Creek had a dramatic rise, just boom, and that nobody really knows why yet.
Oh.
I mean, doesn't even the old timers say it didn't used to happen that way. So wow. Something has been, you know, some of the work that's been going
right.
on, something triggered something there. But not southern part of the county, we didn't hear anything about slides or some of the normal kinds of things. That
yeah,
happen.
You know,
we get a pretty good dam.
Yeah, there's that one spot on the Bryce and Thorn Road down there that goes through state parks that has been severely impacted over the years. They had a little bit of a slide issue there, but
and Blue Slide, I think there was
Blue Slide. They had a massive slide there that they're dealing with. But all in all, I think we fared pretty well with this last batch of storms. I did hear a statistic the other day. They said in the past when we've experienced heavy rains like that in the end of November, 1st of December, that's kind of indicative of the types of storms that come through the rest of the year. I don't know if it's true, but that they're saying there seems to be a pattern with that. So we'll see.
Well, we haven't had heavy rains in some time. When was the last?
07.
A legit flood?
Right. 07 is when Ferndale had the flooding off into the farmlands. In fact, the bridge was closed. Yeah.
That's always impressive when you hear that the Fernbridge is closed.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some water coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a lot of water. But yeah, it was 07 was the last time.
So when you hear things talking about like local creeks and streams flooding,
mm-hmm.
or the urban creeks, I guess, you know, the cities.
Right.
It happens. Is that a trigger for you that it's going to be really tough elsewhere? Or do you kind of look at that as a separate jurisdiction, not law enforcement-wise, but because water is absorbed differently? It processes differently when you're in the city than it does out in the
right.
in the county.
Well, you know, in some of the more remote areas of the county, you know, many of those people are used to it, and they're prepared for it. And you know, we may not get any calls in some of the really remote areas of problems, even though there may exist. But yeah, you know, it does put a little pressure on our office in the sense of calls for service, people calling for information. I'm stranded. I can't get out here. I can't get out there. We had some folks out at Mad River on Sunday that had gone out there to watch the river. In fact, one of them was a person checking the gauging stations, and she said that she barely got back to her car and got out before the river came up and stranded a number of people out at Mad River. We had to go out and do some extrication. They weren't in any danger of being swept away, but they were isolated because the river came up so quickly. So that's, you know, that's the main thing to keep your eye on, is how quick they can rise and fall. So yeah, that's an issue.
KINS News and Information Times 3:41. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
The Humboldt Waste Management Authority is conducting a series of community workshops to share information regarding what services the authority provides, like hazardous and electronic waste collection events, along with the authority's future goals and opportunities for recycle and disposal. Tonight's workshop is in McKinleyville at the Grace Good Shepherd Church, starting at 6. Join in for one of the series of workshops held this week and next week to give your input and share your thoughts about Humboldt Waste Management Authority. A full schedule of meetings are available at the website hwma.net.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, some of the different challenges, I would imagine as you look at things, a wry sense of humor is probably pretty healthy. When I heard the story about the goofballs getting popped for using the Eel River Sawmills administrative house as a grow house, mm-hmm. I thought, you know, some people are more creative than others. Some are more gutsy than others. Mm-hmm. Just right out there in the middle, and everybody could see, pretty impressive that they were able to get away with it for any length of time.
And I think that's indicative of how they handled it. You know, they flew under the radar. You know, didn't bring a lot of attention to themselves. You know, we did start getting some reports of something probably going on there, which led us to open
just because of activity level?
Activity level and some other information that came in. And, you know, and I don't want to say insider information, but just intelligence that came in led us to the point of conducting an investigation and discovering what was discovered there.
Yeah, so, I guess me, you know, okay, send a cruiser out, you know, chugging around, drive the parking lot, you know, get out, look around. Apparently that's not how it's done anymore, huh?
No, not quite. But, you know, there's other things we need to, you know, other verifiers that give us the ability to get a search warrant and go in and check that out. And we're able to verify a number of things that led us to the belief there was something going on there. And
just another grow house?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big grow house. But, you know, there was quite a bit of product going in and out of there. Probably generated some pretty good size amount of income, and again, like you said it earlier yourself, right out in the open, pretty much. I mean, you can see it from Highway 101 without any problem. So I think a lot of people were surprised.
Yeah, short of having stacks of bale stacks all over the place, mm-hmm. there, you know, with a pot for sale sign in the middle of it, it's probably about as blatant as you could get.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I mean, the house has been back there for years. It's huge. It's a big house. You know, and if you're quiet about things, and you can get away with a lot of stuff for quite a while.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, who'd have thunk it? You know, but the more people you bring in on that kind of thing, the more chance there is for information getting out.
Will you guys have the troops kind of cruise the old sites? I mean, Red Crest has got one. I mean, there's a number of old mill sites.
Right.
They're just kind of sitting there waiting for somebody to come by and do something with them.
Right.
Will you? Is that a normal routine? Well, slow, you know, down and look around.
Yeah, many of those are obviously in the ownership of someone, and a lot of them are old time families within the community within Humboldt County. which we have relationships with, not that it couldn't happen, but I think that's one of the least of our concerns right now, based upon how enormous the grow operations are otherwise.
Well, let's pull marijuana out.
Uh-huh.
Let's say if it was a child trafficking. Okay. I mean, the facility would be about the same. The traffic would probably be about the same. Okay. So we'd ramp it up a little bit.
Right.
Just in the normal process of things, will the guys and gals kind of check that stuff out?
Sure. You know, I mean, we don't, we've got plenty of work to do, so we're not always looking for work, but we get, we follow up on information that comes in. And as far as going and just arbitrarily checking places like that, not normally. It's not something we normally do.
Take different routes?
At times we take different routes. Sure, we change it up a little bit. You got to remember, though, you know, we're talking about a an office that I'm down about 14 deputy sheriffs.
I thought you just got some new ones.
Well, I got some new ones, but I still have some frozen positions I'd love to fill someday. As the economy gets better, hopefully we can. But you know, we're down personnel, and it's made us streamline our operations quite a bit. I'm not saying that we're not effective. I'm not saying we're not out there doing our job. I've been able to redistribute some of my deputies so that we have more presence in the outlying areas of the county, which I think is very important. Something that I had campaigned on was to get more presence out there in the outlying areas, and we're doing that. We're working towards that, and without jeopardizing what we have going on closer to town. It's like a big checkers or chess game, trying to place your pieces in the right place to do the best you can.
So for December, what's the biggest concern you've got for the remainder of this calendar year?
Well, for December, I think the biggest thing is just transitioning into the new year. I've got people that are in training right now, making sure that they're ready to go to work effectively in the new year. Filling holes that we have as far as personnel goes and areas that we're working in. As far as big crime trends, I don't see any right now other than the normal things we have during the holiday seasons. Weather is always a problem as you get into December and January, but from what I'm seeing, that doesn't look to be too problematic right now. So we're hoping to just have a good, quiet end of the year.
It's funny. That's everybody's Christmas wish coming in the last month here as we're going out the door. Quiet. Make it quiet.
Right. I agree.
Hope you have a quiet rest of the week.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
All righty. We've been Talking Shop with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. And be sure to remember, double discount tonight. It's starting at 6:00.